Just want to make sure. Well, God's good. Amen. Let's pray and believe him for utterance. You need to hear from him this morning, not me. Father, we love you. We're so grateful, so thankful for all that you've given to us, all that you have done for us. Father, we are excited about this next phase and where we're going to go. And Father, I thank you for this building. And Lord, I just declare right now, we're thankful for it, and it'll do for now. But Father, we thank you for what is to come in the future. Father, we know that we're just starting out here. You have so much for us. And Father, when I begin to try to comprehend it in my mind, it just doesn't do so well. It short circuits my brain to think of all that you have in store for us. But we're thankful for where we're at right now, Father. And we're thankful for where we're going. Father, speak to us through your word this morning. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that I would speak as the oracles of God, and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And so, Father, we thank you for bullseyes being hit here this morning. We give you the praise. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Mark chapter 11. This is our help. Amen. Praise God. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24 is where we'll go. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. As far as faith is concerned, I don't know if Jesus said anything more amazing than these two verses of 23 and 24. But this verse here is what we like to call the prayer of faith. This verse is such a blessing, has been such a blessing to my life, my family's life, this church. It shows us that we can have desires and we can have things in our heart that through praying can make them come to pass, which is awesome. Hallelujah. Basically, the prayer of faith is the prayer to change the natural. Hallelujah. And, you know, I could sit here and tell you testimonies. My heart for today's message really is for this verse to be as big to you as it is to me, and that it has been, because this is not here without this verse. And I don't just mean from me and from what you've done. I'm talking about through my pastor, through Brother Hagin, through the Dufresnes and people and the revelation they got to teach us this type of stuff. And so if you'll avail yourself to this verse and make this verse come alive to you, your life will never be the same. I could sit here and tell you testimonies of my own life that we'd be here all day. And you probably think, well, that's just normal when you preach. I try to get done. I try. But listen, I only get one or two shots at you a week. I mean, I got to make them count. Praise God. But I could tell you testimonies of my own life where this verse brought healing in my life, my children's lives. I could tell you how it's brought the money that we've needed, the supply that we've needed. Vehicles came from this verse. Houses came from this verse. Church buildings came from being a doer of this verse. Babies came. Healing came for children, even as my wife was pregnant and things. All sorts of different things. Selling things. Whatever you need, this verse can help you get it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I remember the first time, I've told this story, most people probably know it. The first time I really became acquainted with this verse was when I was going to Oklahoma for Bible school. And when I got there, you see, you have to understand that my parents and family thought that I fell off. Well, they thought that I had escaped from the institution. Now, and I'm not talking about Chautauqua Institution. Because I told them one day, now remember, this is after 2 years of 26 jobs. Yes, I didn't stutter. 26 jobs of being unfaithful to, 5 different colleges, many different things that I told my parents that I was going to do. And now I tell them I'm going to be a preacher in Oklahoma. They said, well, have fun going on your own dime. We ain't paying a thing for you. And they didn't. And so I had to get an apartment when I went out there. Didn't know anybody. Packed up my 1990 Nissan Rust Bucket. I had it packed so full that I only had use of one of my three mirrors. It was because one of the mirror actually wasn't even a mirror. Didn't work because it was broke. The mirror on the left I could see, but this mirror, had no idea it was packed with stuff. So that was an interesting trip. I covered up my temperature gauge on the way out because the thing would overheat, and I didn't want that to mess with my mind and my faith, so I said, I don't even want to see it. Driving out there, I drove all the way out there myself. And so I got out there, and I needed to get an apartment and a job right away. I only had enough money on me that I'd saved up to get me through 1 month of rent and schooling. And they weren't going to pay for anything. And I don't blame them where I came from. And really, I'll tell you, that's why a lot of times people in my past still have a hard time thinking anything's different, because they saw a whole lot of me back then and who I was. And so when I was there, what happened was that rust bucket, man, it wasn't just rusting on the outside. It rusted underneath, and all the gas lines went. And, I mean, it just come out as quick as you'd put it in. And I'd just be driving down the road just praying, please, nobody throw a cigarette under my truck. Please, nobody throw a cigarette. Because I didn't know. I mean, you see movies and stuff, and things go up in flames. I didn't know if that was real. I thought, my God, what's going to happen to me? You know, because, I mean, I had to get there, so I was wasting gas. But finally, it got undrivable. And I remember I had a choice to make, pay for my tuition or pay for my truck. And my thinking was, well, there's no sense of paying for my tuition, because if I don't have a truck, I can't get to school. Can't get around to work and stuff. So I said, okay, I'm going to pay for the truck, but I didn't have tuition money. And I remember that it was coming due, and I wanted to be faithful to pay that. And it was, you could pay in, like, monthly, and it was $300. And I'll tell you what, to me, $300 still is a lot of money, but back then, I'll tell you, $300 might as well have been $3 million. I mean, back then, I just, you know, and so I didn't know what to do, and I remembered this verse. And I remember, well, I'm at a faith school. Brother Hagin built his ministry on this verse. In fact, when he passed away, they had his Bible open at the viewing to Mark 11:24, because many of his camp meetings, many of his sermons started, now open your Bibles to Mark 11:24. This verse got him off the bed of affliction, off his deathbed. It got him off there, praise God. And so I knew that verse. I'm at a faith school. I better start using some faith. And I remember being in my apartment, had no money, but I needed $300 within a few days. And I remember meditating on this verse, saying, my God, that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, receive, and you'll have them. So that's easy. I desire that. I could pray, and I could believe that because God's faithful. And I used to say this. I say, Lord, I used to go with this model, where God guides, he provides. I said, Lord, isn't it my idea to be here? I mean, I seriously thought I fell off the face of the earth when I went to Oklahoma. I mean, I don't know why anyone in their right mind would go there. I'm serious. It was just foreign country to me. And so I said, I didn't come here on my own terms. You sent me here. You got to provide for me. And I remember getting this verse so down in my heart. I said, okay. I said, I desire to get my tuition paid. So I said, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that this tuition's showing up. I had no idea where or how. But this tuition's showing up in the name of Jesus. I believe that when I pray it. And just for an act of belief, I had a Cabela's magazine that would sit on the back of the toilet. I might as well just tell you the truth. It's always good to have good reading material, certain places we are in life. And I had a Cabela's magazine. I remember walking into that bathroom and seeing that there. And just as an act of faith, I knew it wasn't going to happen this way, but as an act of faith, I picked that thing up and I said, and Father, I believe it so much that I know I could wake up in the morning and there'd be $300 in this Cabela's magazine. Now, that was just an act of faith. God doesn't have $300 to wire into my Bible or my Cabela's magazine. And so, but I said that, and I woke up the next morning, and just even out of a faith stance, I opened that and went through all the pages just to show God I'm ready for this money. And so I went to school, and after class, a gentleman came up to me and said, you know, I was sitting there, and the Lord said, there's someone that needs money around you. He said, I asked the person in front of me, wasn't them, Lord said. I asked the person behind me, wasn't them. I asked the person to my right, wasn't them. I said, is it him, Lord? And the Spirit of God told him, yes, it is. Well, then he looked at me and said, do you need money? I said, oh, yes, I do need money. Well, he took out some money and stuck it in my suit pocket. Well, I went to my truck, got in my truck, and pulled that. I mean, I couldn't wait to get to my truck to see what that was. Pulled it out. There were three crisp $100 bills. Well, my tuition was $300. And there was a 10. And that's the most important thing, because I was able to go to Mazio's and get a calzone. And I celebrated. God is faithful and faith works. But see, here's the thing. You might be facing something that is a greater test and trial than $300. It doesn't matter to him. The money might be more. The thing in your body might be worse than a $300 thing. It doesn't matter to him. This verse covers it all. Praise God. So we need to get a hold of this. Amen? Praise God. Well, I'm here to tell you good news. I have got further revelation on this verse. And I have found the secret to this verse working. And you ought to be real excited about that. Because if you can find the secret to this verse working, any situation that in your life that you need, or money, or health, or jobs, cars, vehicles, that comes up, this verse will get it for you. Amen. This verse will get it for you. Praise God. And so I got further revelation, and I'm going to show you that. We're going to stay right here. But in this verse, man has a role and God has a role. In fact, man's part, and don't let this scare you, is three parts. God's part is only one. Don't let that scare you, because I'm going to go through the different parts. But with God, there's always a God side and a man side. Notice this, that God's expecting you to believe and to pray and to desire, but he's got a role too. Well, your role is this. Let me show you what man's role is. Because two out of the three are simple. The third one's simple if you don't get tripped up on his role. Say, oh, you're confusing me. I know I'm good at it. But we'll make this clear by the end of here. Number one, your role is this. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire. You have to have a desire. You have to want to be healed. You have to want to not be broke. You have to want to have the vehicle, right? You got to have a desire. To me, that's basic. When I'm sick, who doesn't want to be healed? When I'm broke, who doesn't want to have provision? When I need a job, who doesn't want to, right? When I need whatever. So the desire part's simple. Well, that's easy. Have a desire. Well, then he says, when you pray. So the second thing you have to do besides desire is pray. Well, that's simple, right? He said to pray. It shouldn't be hard to converse with your Father, you know, bringing your needs to him. Well, that's basic. But here's the third part. And this is where people get tripped up, because if we're going to get what God says, we have to do it his way. He said, therefore, I say to whatsoever things you desire, number one, when you pray, number two, here's the thing, believe you receive. Now, notice, though, when you pray, that's the key to your part here, that when you have a desire and when you pray, if you want this verse to work, when you pray is at the moment it comes out of your mouth, there has to be an unwavering persuasion of belief that what you just prayed is coming to pass. For it to work. Because you can desire and you can start spouting off at the mouth, but if you don't believe when you're praying, and see, that's an interesting time frame, because when you're praying, he said that's when you're supposed to believe you have it, but see, you're praying it because you don't have it. Naturally, right? When you're praying for the money, then money's obviously not there. That's why you're praying for it. Amen? When you're praying for the healing, you're only praying for it because it's not there. But he says, when you release your faith out of your mouth, you have to believe you got it when you opened your mouth. Praise his name. That's where people get tripped up on. Anybody can desire. Anybody can pray. But believing you actually receive. Because I'll tell you what, when I said, Lord, I said, you called me to Oklahoma. I didn't come to this God-forsaken land without you telling me to come here. And I said, in your word, you said you'd meet all my needs. You said that. So I'm taking you at your word. And I thank you, Father, for that $300. When I said that, there was no shadow of a doubt that that money was coming. I mean, I was convinced. That's why I woke up flipping through. That's why I just held it before God and said it could be there. Because I wanted him to know I was convinced, and I was. So I was in line. But this is the part that causes Christians to stumble, is the believing that they receive it. Why? Because we're sense people. We go by our feelings. We go by our emotions. We go by our thoughts. We go by what we can see, and it moves us off a place of the Word of God, which is where our faith should be in. Well, I have the solution. Are you ready for the solution to the problem of believing? Because that's when people talk to me about faith, that's their issue. But, Pastor, the money's not there. Well, by faith it is in the Word. But, Pastor, the healing's not there. Well, by faith in the Word, it is. So here's your solution to part number three that causes people to stumble. If you know two things, all you have to do with this verse is know two things. And if you know two things, praise God, it will take care automatically of the believing part. So all you have to do is know two things, and they're not hard. You ready for them? Go to Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. If you know two things, it'll forever take care and solve the problems that people have with Mark 11, 24. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. Here's the first thing. He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" He's declaring to the world, "I'm God. Is there anything too hard for me?" Go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Two things, if you know, will take care of believing part. Praise God. Luke 1 and verse 37. For with who? What's the next word? Nothing shall be impossible. The God that we preach is the God of the impossible. What do I mean by that? The God that can do the impossible. When man says there's no way, God makes a way. There's a song they sing out in California called "Jesus is a Waymaker." I love it. Because God, when you come up to nothing, God says, "Oh, there's a way. There's a way, praise God." So the first thing that you need to know to solve the believing part is that you have to know that God's able. We know that He's God. I mean, that's easy, right, to know that God is able, because I believe everybody in this room, there's not one person in this room that would think that God's weak or that God can't do something. He's God, right? I mean, do we need to go over His resume and to know that He's qualified? I mean, He spared three men in a fiery furnace that was turned up seven times hotter. They came out unscathed, unsinged. He was with David, a youth, I mean a teenage boy, while an army quivered and shook in the background of professional soldiers. They quivered and shook at Goliath, and David said, "What in the world's wrong with you? I'm going to go and cut the head off this dude." God was with him. Amen? God was with Daniel when he quenched and shut the mouths of the lions. There's nothing too hard. God fed His people with manna or bread from heaven, led them by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. Nothing is too hard for God. He's able. So if you know that God's able, that's the first part. But there is another part that you need to know that takes care of the believing part. And that is this, that you have to know that God's willing. It's not enough to know that God is able to meet your needs. It's not enough to know that God is able to heal your bodies. It's not enough to know that God is able to get you the house, the car, whatever, fill in the blank that you need. It's not enough to know that He's able. Because, let me give you an example. We just started, me and Caleb, I just started teaching him how to shoot a gun. He's got this little cricket that Jeff and Michelle got him years ago. Just little short little 22, shoots regular 22 rounds, but he's been learning how to do that. And I'll tell you what, he would do that all day long if I let him. Drive me crazy. I mean, he just wants to shoot all the time. He knows that I'm able, because he knows he can't do it by himself. Obviously, the gun's put away and things, and he knows better to even think about that. He knows I'm able to get that gun out, to set that rest up, to put the target out there for him and sit there with him and help him. He knows I'm able and knows I can do it. But see, he can't put his faith in the excitement of the shooting coming to pass until he knows Dad's willing. Right? Until he knows that Dad has given, "Yes, let's go shoot." Or he can wake up all excited, all he wants, and claim how he's going to shoot that day. But if he doesn't have my approval, that's all for nothing. Even though he knows I'm able to do it, he's got to know Dad's willing. Same thing for the Christian. It's not enough for you to just know that God is able. Your faith can't rest just in his ability. Your faith will rest in the fact that you know he wants to do it for you, that he's willing. Well, how do we find out that he's willing? Let me just make this clear. Read the will. Read the will. They called it, you ever heard the term will and testament? Really, there is some difference, but they really, as I was studying and looking at legality of things, they're really interchangeable, a will and testament. And listen to what a will and testament, the definition is. A legal document in which a person expresses their wishes as to how their stuff is to be distributed to others. Hallelujah. The Bible is God's will and testament of his expressed wishes of the stuff that he wants to distribute to you and I. What kind of stuff? Money, cars, houses, jobs, health, children, praise God, protection, peace of mind. That's God's stuff. In a will, a legal document, you don't get more any more legal than this, signed in the blood of Jesus, is a document that tells you what God wants for you. So we already have the ability part figured out. We just have to get the willing part. We'll find out if he's willing. Is he willing that I drive a nice car? Is he willing that I live in the house that I want? Is he willing that I have a good job? Or does he want me just to eke by in life? Is he okay with me just having this sickness? Because it's not that bad. I mean, other people have it worse. Find out what he's willing. Amen. Praise God. The Bible is God's will and testament of what he left us. So, if you can get to the place where you know he's able, which is easy, and then if you'll read the will, see, if someone leaves me something in their will, the only thing that I have to do to know that it's mine is just read it. Or just find out or have somebody tell me. Maybe it might be in a service that I'm telling you what God has for you. Or you listen online or your private meditation study with him. And you read it and you see it. Now, how many of you, if someone, I say this, and I'm tongue-in-cheek, half of my tongue is in my cheek when I say this next statement. My father-in-law has an awesome gun collection. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I'll tell you one good thing about marrying an only child. Christmases are better. Birthdays are better. No one to share stuff with. I mean, that's mommy and daddy's little girl, so all the good stuff from them comes to us. And I'm telling you what, if my name is not on every single one of those guns, we're going to have problems. Now, I don't know how I'm going to be able to, unless I see it before he passes, but I'm just telling you. But here's the thing. When that happens and we get that from the lawyer and we read that, and I hope it's not, for a long time, obviously, but the guns are pretty good. But no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. If I read that and see my name, okay, my Remington 270 short mag goes to my son-in-law. I don't look at that and argue with that. I don't look at that and say, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. I just look at it and say, bring it. When I find out that he's willing to bless me, bring it, Lord. When I find out he's willing to heal me, yes, I'll take that. That's why that song says, yes, Lord. My soul says yes, you're agreeing with it. My soul says yes to your promises. You're agreeing with the word of God that yes, he wants you healed. Yes, he wants you blessed. Yes, he wants you taken care of. Hallelujah. So you find out what the will says, and that's where faith comes. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing. Praise God. You can say it this way. Faith comes when you know he's willing. Because when you hear the word, that's you telling you he's willing. Faith comes when you know he's willing. Praise God. So man's role, desire, pray, believe that you receive it the moment. Believe the money's there when the money's not there. Believe the healing is going to manifest when it doesn't look like the healing's going to manifest. That's your role. Well, that's taken care of much easier when you find out he's able and willing. If you find out he's able and willing, well, then it all falls back onto his ability then. Because if he's able and willing, then he's just got to cause it to happen. Praise God. So find out what God has said about you for your role. It'll help you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, now you want to see what God's role is? Because God's role, really, out of this whole thing, is what trips people up the most. Not even the believe that you could receive part. Look what it says. Therefore I say unto you whatsoever. Go back to Mark 11, 24, please. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. That's one part. That's easy. When you pray, that's easy. Believe you receive. Well, believe and you receive. It's easy when you know he's able and willing. And you shall have them. God's role is to bring it to pass or to make it happen. Let me say that again because I didn't sink in. God's role or God's job is whatever you have opened your mouth and released your faith for, it's God's job then to make it come to pass or to show up in this natural realm. Let me say it again. It's God's job. Once you've got to the place of faith where you know he's able, which is easy because he's God, where you know he's willing because you know how to read, and then you release your faith, at that point, it is out of your hands. You are done with it. You are finished. Good job. But the problem comes when Christians try to start doing the job that only God is qualified to do. Because when you release that those words or that prayer, at that moment, there needs to be faith and belief in that. Well, when belief and faith starts to waver is when people start trying to do what God's job is. Can you imagine if you walked on the room of a surgery going on? Imagine me walking into your surgery. Saying, I got this. Oh, man, we're going to be having more surgeries. Well, I'm not qualified. Why? I know better that I'm not qualified to do the job of a doctor. They're way smarter, way more schooled, way more experienced, right? I mean, imagine we all go take a trip together. Wouldn't that be fun? Well, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, we only see each other a couple times a week. Maybe that's all we need to. I don't know. I think it'd be fun. But we go on a trip together, and you see me walking up the aisle. Where's Pastor Mike going? I go in there to the pilot. I got this. Oh, better get your faith on then. Don't ask me to fix your car either. I'm not qualified. Don't ask me to. I mean, I was here when they were working this week, and Reverend Scott will attest to this. Reverend Scott, we love you, by the way. Everybody look at that big, tall guy back there. You know what? With Reverend Scott, let's give him a hand. I'm serious. And let me tell you why. He helps me so much. And we take care of him. I don't want you to think we don't take care of him because we don't need anybody feeling bad for you. But he has helped so much with things, and so we're thankful for you, Reverend Scott. You know, you ever seen the movie Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger? That's us. Praise God. Why did I even start talking about you? I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, the building. And he would attest to this. I mean, I was as helpless and I was just space, taking up space. I mean, they're doing stuff, and I'm thinking, I'll just tell you the truth. I went into my old office to try to remove the blinds off that window to bring them to that window. And, I mean, we're talking screws and a drill, and that's it. And I got so frustrated, I'm like, I'm done. I'm not qualified to do this, and I'm not trying to fool myself. Don't have me come fix anything. It happened. I said, and so Reverend Scott will tell you, Pastor Mike basically was worthless. I did nothing, glory to God. Just took up space and just was here. You're not qualified to do God's job. You're not the healer. You're not the provider. You're not the protector. You know, when I leave to go on trips, as I drive out my driveway, I say, Father, I thank you that you can protect my family better when I'm gone than if I was even here. Just, I don't leave my home like when I go on trips and worry. So I say, no, Father, you're the protector of my family. I can't do a good a job as you can, is what I'm trying to tell him. And see, people get tripped up because they try to start doing God's job, and you don't have the ability. And so when you try to start doing God's job, your faith starts to waver because then you think, and I'm not just talking about the word here. I'm talking about, well, it is the word, but it's not the written word. There's also the word of God when he speaks in your heart, because he might tell you something that you can't find a verse on. You know, what spouse, what vehicle to drive, what house, what job to take, where to live, right? There's not verses that tell you those things. You can be led on those things. And so when he speaks in your heart, that's just as much the word of God. And so when he speaks that word to you, where people start to get tripped up, is they start to get mental about it and think, how in the world is that even possible? You ever been there? I've been there. And you think, how is that going to be able to be maneuvered? How is that money truly going to come? I know you said you'd meet all my needs, but Father, have you seen my checkbook? Have you seen my job? But that's his job to make it come to pass. And I'll tell you what, it is freeing when you let it go. And you pray it, and you leave it there with him. And you know, it's his job. Stop getting into the mental arena of how it's going to come to pass. Amen? Go with me to Exodus chapter 14 real fast. God has spoken things to me on my heart that baffle my head. But it's not my job to try to figure out how he's going to make it all work and come to pass. And I'll tell you what, it's my faith in what he has said to me, either in the word or in my heart, always goes down when I start to think, yeah, but Lord, there's this. Yeah, but there's this obstacle. Yeah, but there's this obstacle. Stop it. If he's able and willing, you know he can do it and wants to do it. Just release your faith and let him work. Hallelujah. Your mind will short circuit trying to figure out how it's going to come to pass. Oh, man. Exodus 14 and verse 5. Is that where I told you? Exodus 14 and verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So this is when Israel's been released, and they're going away, and Pharaoh wants to go get them back. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh's and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea besides, wow. We'll just leave it there. The place of wow. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh, Mr. Bible scholar up here, oh man, there's way more I don't know than I do, just so you know. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians march after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Here God just delivered them from the Egyptians, and now they're complaining. Wherefore have you dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we would die in the wilderness. You know, and that's the way Christians are. It was better, Lord. See, people come in to Christianity and the things of God, and they get tested a little bit because the devil's upset at what you're doing, and because of where you're going is so wonderful, the devil doesn't want to see you there. So a little bit of hell gets kicked up in your life, and the dust gets stirred up in life. And people say, you know what? It was way better. Way better. You know, things were a lot easier when I didn't get faithful. Things were a lot easier when I didn't dig in. And see, the really thing that you're saying there is, I just don't want to use faith. Because faith overcomes all those obstacles and those tests. And that's what the children of Israel are saying. They're saying, we just want all these free handouts, and we just want always just to work out without having to do anything. And they're saying, it would be better to be a slave. Go back and look at what they were doing under Pharaoh. It was not, wow, it was not a good thing. They did not have a good life as slaves in Egypt. And now they're saying, oh, it'd be better. No, what they're really saying is, I just don't want to use faith. And that's what Christians are saying. Well, it was so much better when I wasn't faithful, when I didn't turn my money over to God, when I didn't turn my time over to God, when I didn't turn my service over to God. I heard Reverend Joel Siegel say this one time. People say all the time, Lord, use me, Lord, use me. And then the church uses you and say, oh, the church is just using me. Well, what do you want? If you're willing, we'll use you. Praise God. But just saying, I don't want to have faith is what they're saying. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still. We're almost done here. And we'll see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you have seen them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now notice this now. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now remember, they're standing on the banks of the Red Sea. God says, tell them to go forward. Praise God. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, Moses. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, sometimes the Bible leaves out the human drama, but I'm going to tell you what. Think about this. Hundreds, I don't even know the total count, but the best chariots and horsemen coming after these people, bearing down on them. They're at a body of water with no bridge. And they got an army coming, breathing down their neck. And God tells Moses, just like God has told you, all your needs can be met. Just like God has told you, you can have divine healing from head to toe. Just like God told you, you can have long life. Just like God told you, you can have the victory. He's told you these things in his will. And the natural looks like there's no way to have it. Well, God says to Moses, with an army bearing down to take them back into captivity, put your rod over the sea and divide that thing. Now, remember, it's God's job to have it come to pass. It's our job to believe. Moses could have said, wait a second. You want me to take this piece of wood, hold it over the water, and divide it so we can walk across it? How's that going to work? He could have done that. He could have got into his head. Hi, Lord, you're telling me that everything's going to be okay financially? And have you seen my checkbook? Do you know what I make? Do you know what the doctors have said? Do you know what my natural situation looks? You know, things you speak on your heart and you know is God. And there's just chaos in the natural and you figure out, how in the world? And you get in, Lord, I don't know. I don't believe you. I'm not sure. And you start to doubt the things he's saying to you. Thank God Moses didn't do that. If Moses wouldn't have obeyed, they'd have gone right back into slavery. But what did Moses do? Praise God. We know we don't need to read it for time's sake. He did what God said to do. Didn't sit there and question. That thing overheated. Is that why it went off? Yeah, we've been having a little issue. Our projectors are in a little box, and it gets really hot in that box, and it overheats them, so we're going to fix that this week. And he didn't doubt it or think, how could you divide? Well, when he did that, the water, the Bible says that they went up and made a wall, and that the ground was dry. Now, remember, there's a congregation of about 2 million people. When you take the water out of a body of water, the ground is soft. And how are they going to get 2 million people across? I don't know, but God did it. Because one man didn't sit there and try to figure out. That defies all. See, you have to understand with your finances, your calculator doesn't have is not the same calculator as God's. God's calculator has a supernatural button on it. The medicine that you take that can't heal your body and the doctors that tell you that it can't be healed, and the things you look up on the internet, they don't have a supernatural element to them, but God does. Hallelujah. And see, your faith is going to get short-circuited. Whatever you're believing for right now, whatever God has spoken in your heart, stop trying to figure it out in the natural. That's his job. Just give it to him. That's his job. When I released my faith, for example, we had a bill come in the mail one time. This was years ago, and it was pretty substantial, but I think it was like $700 or $800, like 6-7 years ago. We had no, you know, it actually would have been longer. I wasn't pastoring. It was probably 10-12 years ago. Just no money, you know, paid all our bills for that week. And it was something that I had neglected, and they were breathing down my throat to pay it. And we came in and just, wow. And I remember Courtney said, out of her mouth came, what are we going to do? And I just got mad at that thing. I said, we're going to act like the Bible's true. That's what I said. I said, and I dropped right to my knees. And I held that thing up before God. And I said, Father, you said you'd meet all my needs. You said. Now listen, this is how I pray. I reverence God. But I said, Father, you said in your word you'd meet all my needs. This is a need. I said, you shouldn't have put it in there if you didn't mean it. If you didn't mean it, you shouldn't have put it in there. You said you'd meet all my needs. So I said, Father, I thank you. I know you said that in the word. I believe it. I desired it. I prayed it. I believed it when I prayed. And afterwards, I said, thank you, Father. It's done. I took the bill and threw it off to the side. I said, it's not my problem anymore. And I believed it. Now, I'll tell you what. The thoughts came, where are you going to get that money from? Where are you going to get that money from? Well, a couple days went by, and I went out to the mailbox and got an envelope, opened it up. And there was a check. I think we owed $700 or $800. There was an unexpected check. It was either $1,400 or $1,600. I can't remember. From something way in my past that someone had messed up on and just had found the error and sent me the money for it. There's a couple in Olean concerning this verse. And let me Let's close this here. I just want to finish with this to build your faith. There's a couple in the Olean Church, a precious, sweet, older couple. When they first started coming, we were in the hotel. And by the way, Olean, your building's coming. Amen. Amen. That's the Olean crew right there. All the way from Olean. Praise God. Your building's coming. God, you know, South Dayton, people might disagree with this, but God doesn't just love the South Dayton people. So, and there's a sweet, precious older couple. When they first started coming, and they sat down with them in the hotel lobby, and they said, "Pastor, we need a car." I said, "Great, because I know who you can get one from. My God's in the business. He's a good car dealer." Amen. And I said, "This is what we need to do." Can you go back to Mark 11:24? I went to Mark 11:24. I said, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it." I said, "We got to get you to where you believe, and then we're going to release our faith." So the first week I said, "Okay, this is what the Bible said. Meditate on this verse, Philippians 4:19. I said, "Is a car a need for you? Do you need a car?" They said, "Yes." I said, "Well, you qualify then." Philippians 4:19 says you qualify. I said, "You read this verse all week long, and you continually meditate on it and speak it. My God shall meet all my needs. My God shall meet all my needs." We'll come back here next Saturday night, and we'll release our faith for that vehicle. So I was sitting with them in where they had breakfast at the hotel, sitting them off to the side. It was either before or after service. I think it was after. I said, "Are you ready?" I said, "Do you believe that God can do this? Do you believe that God wants to do this?" "Oh, yeah, we see it in the Word, Pastor." I said, "All right, let's release our faith." And we prayed. I said, "Father," I said, "I'll say the prayer, but you just make sure you can agree with it." And I said, "Father, I thank you for this precious couple. And Father, they need a car. And you said you meet all their needs." And we have some Olean people back there, too. We can't leave them out. Sweet, sweet, sweet ladies. Just love them. Hallelujah. And so I said, "Let's release our faith. Father, thank you for this couple. And Lord, I thank you. You said in your word you'd meet all their needs. Well, they need a car, Father. So right now we're releasing our faith that they will have a car and you'll prove yourself faithful in Jesus' name. Amen." They got it there. I said, "Don't touch it anymore. Just thank God for it." When the thought comes, just say, "Thank you, God. It's coming to pass." If God has spoke something in your heart, if God has showed you something in his word, once you release that faith and that thought starts coming and you start thinking, "How is it going to happen? How can that? It doesn't look like the natural change." Just say, "Thank you, Father. You've heard me pray. Thank you, Father. You're faithful. It will come to pass." That's what you do. Well, a short time later, the husband came running as fast as he could run, if you'd call it a run. Come up to me, Pastor, I got to tell you. It was either a son or daughter or son and daughter-in-law. They said, "They want to give us," out of the blue, they called and said, "We want to give you a car." I mean, who just gives away cars? They would have never. Because part of the faith thing to get them to was, "We make this amount of money." You know, it was all talking about how they couldn't do it. I said, "Listen, God doesn't need your salary to meet his promises. God doesn't need your paycheck to make his word come to pass. He might use it. It might be a tool, but he doesn't need it." And he said, "We don't have enough money for a car." I said, "That's no big deal. God's bigger than that. And that's part of the faith. Get him to the faith." And so they came and told us that, yeah, and it has half the mileage of the car that we just got rid of. The problem was their car wouldn't pass inspection, and they had a certain time left. And it was just so old and, you know, not good anymore. And so they needed to get, it was a time thing. And so give us a car, half the mileage. And he said, "And we just love the way it looks." And so I just thought, because, you know, Mr. Faith guy here, I'm like, "Well, how much did you have to pay for it?" They said, "That's the thing. They're giving it to us for free. They don't want any money." Mark 11:24. What do you need? What do you desire? What has God spoken in your heart? Pray or desire? Pray, release your feet. Faith, release your feet. Release your faith and just believe it and watch God work. And the minute you start to think of how, no. He's able and willing. Just say, "He's able and willing." Glory to God. Amen. We're going to see some things come to pass in our lives. The Bible says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." We're going to be fruit-bearing people. And people are going to see our lives and say, "What is the secret to your life?" We're going to tell them, faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. We are so blessed, so grateful, and so thankful for all that you have done for us, Father. We love you so much. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for being so kind to us, Father. this building and this Sunday today is the fruition and the manifestation of Mark 11, 24. Father, when we started here, the first thing I said in the storefront is thank you for our new building. I was using Mark 11, 24 because I knew you didn't call us to a storefront. When you brought us into the what we now call the old sanctuary, Father, I knew you didn't call us just to a building that size, and so I used Mark 11, 24. And Father, it got us this one. And so thank you, Father, that faith works. The word works. When you say something in our heart, you mean business. When you say something in your word, you mean business. We might not understand it all and try to figure it all out, but you mean business. All we need to know is that you're not a liar and that you're able and willing to whatever you have said in your word or whatever you've put in our heart, we know that you're able and willing to do it and that you want to. We thank you, Father. We bless you. Thank you so much for faith. Thank you for the prayer of faith. And Father, we just thank you so much for Jesus this morning. Can we thank him for Jesus? Is he not the sweetest and just best thing in the world? I'm so in love with Jesus. My heart is just to please him. I get so upset and hurt when I don't please Jesus. I'll just admit it. It might seem weird, but I don't mean it to be weird. I'm in love with him. I am in love with Jesus. I adore him. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. You're so good to us. And thank you for dying on that cross. If I could ask a favor of everybody, if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, please no looking around. God gave you Jesus because he loves you. It was a demonstration of love. And the Bible says that if you would just simply believe that Jesus came, that he died on the cross and rose again, if you can say to yourself, Pastor, I do believe in Jesus. I do believe that he died and rose again. That's in my heart. I believe that. Well, the Bible says if you will confess that and ask him to come into your heart, he'll come into your heart and he'll save you. Praise God. And you'll be heaven-bound, but also you'll become a child of God here on this earth. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you can say, I do believe in him, I do believe he died and rose again, but I have never asked him to come into my heart because he won't invade. He won't knock down the door. He wants to be invited. If you can say, Pastor, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I want to today. Would you, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in the air? Is there anybody that's never received Jesus this morning and you want to receive him? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that we're all born again, but if by chance somebody in here or somebody that's listening by live stream or the archives in the future has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray that they would not pass from this life until they have accepted him. And I pray that they would realize how simple it is and how welcoming you are, that all they have to do is say, I believe in you, Lord, and it'll come to pass. And so, Father, we bless you this morning. Let's just give him praise and thanks. I'm going to go ahead right now. I'm going to bless the food that we're about to eat. Father, thank you for all that we're about to partake. We just ate spiritually. Now we're going to eat naturally. And Father, I pray that you would bless the hands that provided it. Bless the people that had lots to do behind the scenes, people that came and cleaned, people that came and put chairs together, people that were hooking up sound, people that have been praying, people that have been given. Bless people for this, Father. We thank you for the time of fellowship that we are about to enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that was awesome. Praise God. Don't forget, no Wednesday service here this week. We're going to be in Jamestown. And then those meetings are Sunday through Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And hopefully we'll see you there. But we'll definitely see you back here next Sunday, 10 a.m. You're dismissed. And if you just go right out the doors and down the hall into where the old sanctuary is, we will get ready to eat. 10 minutes.